Welcome to your festive episode of Behind the Headlines. Unsurprisingly, most of our stories today are Christmas-related this Christmas Eve. We'll hear from the leaders of all the UK nations with their festive messages. We've caught up with Kate Winslet on her Christmas movie directorial debut.
Well, my mum used to say, oh, my family humble me all the time. Like, Mia will sometimes say to me, is that what you're wearing?
And we find out why more people are ditching turkey for beef or lamb. Well, let's start with those Christmas messages from party leaders. The Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, used his message to say his priority is to help those struggling with the cost of living. And he thanked those working and volunteering on Christmas Day.
It's a truly special time of year. And it's a time to remind ourselves what's really important. Family. Friends, community. It's a time to celebrate the Christmas story and to cherish the Christian values that define it. Peace, charity, and goodwill to all. That is the promise of the season. And just as so many put their feet up, some truly special people will be pulling on their uniforms and heading out to work. Our NHS staff, emergency services, and the brave men and women of our armed forces, all playing their part, doing their bit to care for the nation and to keep us safe. Many volunteers will be out there as well, serving food, reaching out to help those lonely or in need. So, on behalf of the whole country, I want to say a big thank you.
That was echoed by Wales and Scotland's first ministers.
To those who will be working over the festive period, I want to say diolch o galon, my heartfelt thanks.
To those of you working so that others can rest, feel safe or receive the care they need, especially those in our public and emergency services, thank you.
More from Wales's First Minister, Eleanor Morgan.
At this special time of year, I want to send my warmest wishes for a peaceful and joyful Christmas to you all. Wherever you are and however you're marking the season, I hope you find space to pause, reflect, and spend precious moments with those you love.
While her Scotland counterpart, John Swinney, used his message to urge us to think about those who'll find the celebrations hard this year.
For some, Christmas can be difficult. For some, it may be the first year without a loved one. It will be for my family. For others, it may bring feelings of loneliness. We are living through uncertain and challenging times. That's why the kindness that we show one another, especially at Christmas, matters more than ever.
And Northern Ireland's First and Deputy First Ministers, Michelle O'Neill and Emma Little-Pengelly, told us what Christmas means to them.
Yeah, I love the traditions that every other family loves at Christmas time. It's ultimately about spending time together and eating the turkey.
Christmas is a wonderful time of the year as we celebrate the birth of Christ. And of course, it is a time of year for reflection, but also gratitude.
To another politician now, the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves. She's been banned from a pub in Leeds in her own constituency. The Chancellor visited the Marsh Inn in the summer, but after the budget, landlord Martin Knowles says she's not welcome back, as he now faces more tax rises. Our reporter Katie Lyons has been to visit the pub in Pudsey.
It's after all increases at taxes that she's done, and she's not helping the hospitality industry at all. So I feel that she's not welcome, and my clientele say it's same and all.
And this is her constituency, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Has she been in before as well?
She came in June, July this year, and just sat and had a drink for about half an hour. Me and my wife had a photo with her, and then a month later, she gives all this spiel about doing this, that and other, and she hadn't done none of it.
And what kind of tax rises are you facing?
Business rates. National insurance rates, and then it's beer's going to go up in April again, I bet.
So if she's coming for a Christmas pint, she's not welcome here, is she?
Definitely not welcome here at all, no.
A government spokesperson says they're protecting the industry with a multi-billion pound support package. Still to come on Behind the Headlines, we have an update on a Christmas Eve police shooting a year on, a warning about using AI for mental health support, and beef or turkey.
You could have a roast dinner, turkey and all the trimmings.
Probably turkey, maybe beef.
But first, this Christmas Eve, we can reveal girls as young as 8 are putting anti-aging skincare products on their Christmas lists.
You think you are pressured to use it just so you can fit in?
That's Grace from Sevenoaks in Kent, who was 8 when she started using skin products that she'd seen on social media. The growing trend has raised concern among dermatologists, who warn these products can be harmful to young skin. Our reporter Martha Tipper has been investigating.
Grace started using her mum's anti-aging products because she'd seen them on her TikTok feed. They contained a strong form of vitamin A called retinol.
And it was just not right for my skin. It made it really bad. And I think that's the thing about TikTok and influencers and friends maybe getting it. You think you are pressured to use it just so you can fit in. But I think it's wrong and it shouldn't be like that.
Tunbridgewell's mum, Lindsay Meaden, has a 9-year-old daughter and campaigns for smartphone-free childhoods. She says the trend is damaging young girls' self-esteem.
Everything has to look like you're a Barbie doll or something, and it's so unhealthy. Children, by all means, play with makeup, play with dressing up, but in a childlike way. They should not be concerned or worrying about their skin when they're only about 10 years old. All they should be worrying about is putting more mud on their face.
Skincare content remains unrestricted on social media, and many daily routine videos attract millions of views.
To a Christmas movie next, where we've been catching up with Hollywood star Kate Winslet as she makes her directorial debut. She also stars in Goodbye June, which was written by her son, Joe Anders. It explores family ties, grief and loss, and is out on Netflix today. Our entertainment reporter Olivia Marks went to find out more.
Well, Kate, huge congrats on Goodbye June.
Thank you.
I gave my mum the biggest hug after watching this.
Aww.
I'm always so impressed by actors directing themselves. I would just be awful to myself. How kind was Kate the director to Kate the actress?
I think I was awful to myself. I was like, no, that was rubbish, do it again. Because you can also feel like when something's going to work or not work, or if you've taken too many pauses, or, you know, I just needed to give myself plenty of option for when I got into the edit, because there was never time, literally never time, to be able to stop, go, I'm just going to go and check that back. It just would have wasted so much time that I needed to be able to make all of my days. You know, we only had 35 days to shoot this. I had Helen Mirren for 16 days, 7 children, not a very big budget. You know, I just had to power through. And sometimes just having that energy and forward thinking as much as I had to, and being really overly prepared in terms of how I was going to play Julia, learning lines way in advance, that kind of stuff, lining up my options, and really being inside of the material, it meant that I could just jump from one thing to the next without having to even think.
It's funny as well, because I was just chatting with Tony and she was saying that some directors don't even know how to talk to actors.
No, and it's really true. Some directors just aren't comfortable with the language. They just don't know how to kind of do that. You know, often they can be much more visual. And often directors really don't like directing children. They're scared of it. You know, so I've had many directors say to me, oh, you can do the, you'll sort the kids out, won't you? And I think, yeah, I will sort the kids out. I'll absolutely do it. But how daft, because it's such a, you know, why would you want to miss out on that? I love working with children. It's my favourite thing in the world. So I was very lucky that I had 7 on this. Actually, it was 8 because the baby was identical twin girls. We just loved it. It was a very, really joyful experience.
That Christmas roast debate coming up.
We probably have lamb.
I don't like turkey, it's too dry.
And Santa paws at a Dumfries and Galloway dog shelter. But first, it's a year to the day since a man was shot dead by police in Redditch following a several-hour standoff after he reportedly had a knife. Earlier this week, his family handed in a petition to West Mercia Police as they continue their calls for answers over his death. They're demanding the officer who fired the fatal shot at Marcus Mead be suspended. Our reporter Elliot Burrow has more from the police's headquarters.
Say his name!
Members of Marcus's family and friends were here outside the gates this lunchtime, displaying a banner which read "Justice for Marcus Mead" on it, with a member of the police force coming to meet them and collect the petition. Marcus's dad, Tony, says he's been left feeling broken and ruined by his son's death.
How has the last 12 months been?
I would say it's been devastating for me. For the whole year, I've had to absolutely keep my mind boggled with stuff to take it off. What's what's going on with Marcus, which is difficult. I can't take my mind off it.
West Mercia police have previously said the officers involved had returned to duty after a period of reflection, and it continues to express its sincere condolences to Marcus's family and friends as the first anniversary of his death approaches. A police watchdog investigation into his death is said to be at an advanced stage and is ongoing.
Next, NHS bosses are urging people with mental health issues to avoid turning to AI for Christmas support. There's real concern it could seriously affect those struggling over the festive period. Our reporter Harry Booth has more.
AI is something that more and more of us are turning to, even for medical advice. A recent poll of 2,000 people by the charity Mental Health UK found nearly 4 in 10 have used an AI chatbot for help with their mental health. But NHS bosses are warning against that over Christmas. Fiona Lemons is from NHS Cheshire and Merseyside.
There is no substitute for having a conversation with somebody if you're really struggling with your mental health. Using the crisis lines and the telephone numbers of our charities can be a real lifeline for people. I would encourage people to look at that rather than AI.
They say the best support comes from a trained healthcare provider.
And Harry, why are people choosing AI for support with their well-being?
They say it's easier. They also point to long NHS waiting lists. But the medical director for mental health at NHS England says AI in some cases can be dangerous as it lacks the sophistication to pick up on and challenge problematic thoughts. They're urging people struggling with their mental health to reach out to them or by calling 111 in a crisis.
It's been a Christmas to remember for the dogs at Dumfries and Galloway Canine Rescue Centre in Glencapel as they received a special delivery earlier. Our reporter Ruth Ridley has more.
Oh, he's a good boy.
What's this? Come and get this on.
The centre was full of waggy tails and festive cheer as Santa and his elf made their rounds, handing out toys and treats and even a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. Kennel supervisor Rebecca Plenderleith says it's important they get to celebrate too.
When dogs are in shelters, things can become monotonous. So every day is the same, they can come to predict things. That can take a big toll on their mental health. So when we do something like this that's a little bit different, a little bit silly, a little bit sort of, oh, what's going on? It makes them think, it gets their brain working.
Each of the 30 dogs got a special moment with some of the presents coming from people across the area. Rebecca says this wouldn't have been possible without generous public donations.
Whether that is monetary, whether that's a bag of food, a bag of treats, the toys that the dogs enjoy. Hopefully it's a short time, but sometimes it's a little bit longer, but it makes that time here that little bit better for them.
Finally, you might already be doing the prep, but what are you having for your Christmas meal? There seems to be some divide this year between turkey and beef, with many more people ditching the traditional turkey for whatever they actually prefer. We've been around the country asking you what you think. Let's start in Cardiff.
You could have a roast dinner, turkey and all the trimmings. I'm with my son and my grandchildren, so they could have their roast.
I imagine a roast dinner, probably turkey, maybe beef.
Well, that sounded pretty traditional. How about in Tunbridge Wells in Kent?
I'm very traditional, so I like the turkey.
I get it because I have children who are picky, but it's nice for one day a year to stick with the tradition.
It's a tradition. It's got to stay a tradition. Yeah.
Let's go further north and hear from people in Sheffield.
Three meats. So you have turkey, gammon and pork.
We're having turkey.
Well, I'm vegetarian, so I'm not having turkey. I'll be having a nut roast, but everyone else is having turkey.
Lamb also seemed a popular option among those we spoke to in Guildford in Surrey.
I like turkey myself, but the kids don't, so we'd probably have lamb.
I don't like turkey, it's too dry. I'm more of a lamb person.
Turkey through and through.
We're that generation and it wouldn't be Christmas without turkey and bread sauce and cranberry.
But how about a Christmas curry?
Do you know what? I feel like there's so much of the same food around Christmas, so it's quite nice to have something different. And I love anything spicy, so yeah.
Awful. Philistines. That's Friday night with a pint of beer. It's turkey and champagne and prawn cocktail to start.
Yeah, I'd have curry whenever, to be honest.
Well, I'm actually off for a Christmas Eve curry right now, but it will be turkey and all the trimmings for me and the family tomorrow. And that's it from Behind the Headlines for 2025. Thank you so much if you have listened over the past year as we try to bring you more of the stories you hear in our radio news bulletins, the stories that you're talking about. We're taking a short break over Christmas and the New Year, but we will be back here, wherever you get your podcasts, or on the Rayo app on Monday the 5th of January. I hope you have a happy and healthy Christmas. See you next year.